So good morning, everybody. Hello.
Morning.
It's lovely to have you here at the service this morning. We're going to be able to spend time worshipping together. I've got some different things that I'd like to share with you and talk to you. We're going to look at God's word together as well. So it's going to be a good morning and I'm looking forward to it. So do come and take a seat if you'd like to do that. We'll make a start. Just a reminder just about some of our housekeeping arrangements at the moment. You know that we're trying to be extra careful from the mask wearing point of view, just feel comfortable to wear mask or not, but we would just remind people to pop it on when we're singing for the minute, if that's okay. But let's make a start. I'm going to pray for us as we start to settle down and come into God's presence. So let's pray together. Father God, I just thank you for this new morning that you've blessed us with. Thank you for this morning as we come together, your day, to worship you and to come into your presence together as your people. And I pray by your Holy Spirit that you will speak to us now. Please open our eyes and our ears to all that you have for us this morning. Encourage us, bless us, heal us. Transform us, have your way amongst us. Lord, as we start, we just want to lift a few things up that have been happening this week. You might just want to just lift up to God anything that maybe is troubling you at the moment or you're concerned about. Just give that to the Lord now. Okay, so this morning we're actually going to be starting a new series that's going to take us through into December. And this series is called Called to Grow. And it's all about the fact that as believers, as people of faith, our faith isn't supposed to be static. It's supposed to be something that helps us to grow and to change and to be transformed. And as we do that individually, as we come before God, as we go through this process of growing, it also starts to change us. And it changes our communities that we're in our church family, and it can have an impact. It can change the communities around us here. And I know that's something that's particularly close to your heart as a church. So we're going to spend some time thinking about what it means to be called to grow. So this is really just our starting point today, an introduction to start thinking about some of these themes and ideas about what it means to grow individually, but also as a church family. And we're going to be thinking about that in various different ways and in different formats over the next few months. I know as a church, you often have used the image of a tree to think about this idea of growing. It's a lovely, lovely image, isn't it? Scriptural image that we get about growth and fruit. But I'm going to add another image, hopefully, to your collective database of images to think about this morning. And we're going to be thinking about the idea of corn. And we've got the picture up here. On the screen. Again, it's a lovely biblical image that's used a lot throughout the Bible to talk about growth, but also harvest. And we're in that season at the moment, aren't we, as we think about that. I've got a friend, actually, who's a farmer's wife, and they just recently brought the corn in. And I had a long conversation, as you do, with farmers' wives, all about the huge amount of work that involves and the effort and the energy that goes into bringing in the harvest, but also the amazing feeling of rejoicing when that actually happens. And so we're going to think about some of these ideas. Jesus used this himself. You might be thinking already about the parable of the sower that Jesus talked about. You can find that in Mark 4. And he talks about how the kingdom of God is like a seed that's thrown into good soil, if you remember the story. And it's all about the idea of as that word is accepted, as it goes into the soil, it starts to produce, the crop, it starts to grow. And then the crop that's produced is 100 times what's been sown. Isn't that a lovely picture of what growth is all about? And so that's where we're going to start as we begin this series. We're going to be thinking about this idea of growth, that whatever stage we're at in our life, that faith is never static. It should be growing. And in fact, growth is a key characteristic of the kingdom. So we're going to start, we're going to sing a song of praise now, and we're going to come into God's presence, and we're going to sing to the God who saves us and the God who sees such potential in each of us for growth. This feels quite a significant Sunday for me today. It's really been good over the summer to get out and about and to begin to meet some people. And that's been lovely. If I haven't got round to you yet, I'm on my way. So do look out for me and come and invite me around for coffee as well. That'll be really good. I've also been able to spend a little bit of time just watching and observing and also supporting the deacons as we've just gone through this very slow and gentle process of beginning to meet back together as a congregation. And so thank you for your patience with that. It's good to see the fruits of that as we begin to meet today, and all the preparation that's gone into that as well. But today feels a bit like the true work for me begins. It's the point when I start to open my mouth and begin to share my heart with you. So that's what I'm going to start to do this morning. And hopefully as the months go on, you'll be able to hear a little bit more of my heart as I begin to jump in with your story that you've already started and begin to make a contribution. So that's what I'm planning to do this morning. I think one of my observations of just spending time with you is just becoming aware of just the huge needs of the village around us and the different communities that we live in, not just in the village, but some of the surrounding places that we live in as well, Gerrards Cross and Beaconsfield as well. There's a huge number of people that don't know about faith. And in fact, Monica and I had a really wonderful conversation with a new neighbour just recently who was talking about how she wants to find out more. She's come through this period of COVID, and she can see that faith can make a difference, and she doesn't know what that is, but she wants to find out more. That's amazing, isn't it? That's a real privilege. We have lots of people that live in these surrounding streets and in the places that we live who have just never had the opportunity to hear about the good news. And that's a real challenge for us, I think. And also we have our own challenges that we need to navigate through as a church family, don't we? The needs amongst us are great too, and it's how we continue to support and encourage and bless one another as we move forward. That's all part of the story, isn't it, as we do this together. I think the other thing that I've noticed is that we're also a church that has huge resources. We might be small, but we have some wonderful resources that we can share, and that's wonderful to be able to see the potential that we have here. I'm already aware of the results of your deacons team, for example, who do such a lot of work behind the scenes to hold the church together. And that's really encouraging for me. I'm also aware, as I begin to move around and talk to people, that there is a feeling that people want things to change and move forward, but maybe a slight hesitancy about what that would look like as well. And I just want to say to you, that's totally understandable. Whenever we face change, it takes risk, doesn't it? It takes courage. And I don't take that for granted, that you're a church that's up to do this, that you've got a sacrificial attitude about wanting to do some new things. And I just want to say thank you at the beginning of this process as we begin this journey that you've called me to, and as we start together. But here's the thing that I've been trying to get my head around. Where do we start together? I know that you've been on this journey already. You've called me to join in with this process that you're in. But where do we start now? We've had a season of spending a lot of time listening, haven't we? And I think that's been really helpful. I know that a lot of you have been joining in with me over the months before I came, and the build-up and the last month or two, you've been joining me with listening. And that's great. We need to be able to do that. And as we go through this process, we need to keep listening to God and to ourselves and to one another, and also to what's going on around us, and to be wise. But it's no good just listening. it's no good just hearing something, thinking about that parable of the seed being planted in the soil, for the seed just to sit there and for it to do nothing. There has to be a point when we take courage as a community and we begin to step out in faith and we actually try some things to see where God might be calling us. And that takes courage and it takes faith, because we don't know what that looks like at the moment. But that's the whole point. That's what growth is about. That's what faith is about. It's about beginning to stepping out and trusting in God as we do that. So today we're going to focus a little bit to get this started on a passage that Jesus read right at the beginning of this whole kind of journey that involved his disciples beginning to go out, just like we're beginning to contemplate to start this new part of the journey for the church here. And we're going to look at that now. We're going to think about two things this morning. We're going to think about the vision that Jesus shared with his disciples at that point. And we're also going to think about how he provided for them on the journey as well. So I'm going to invite Leslie to come up to us, and she's going to read to us from Matthew 9. Thank you.
Okay, the reading is from Matthew 9, verse 35 to chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give."
So we're going to be thinking about that passage today. And as well as speaking to you, I'm also going to get you to do some work as well. So I hope that's okay. You can see there's a variety of bits and pieces on the front there. In a minute, I'll give you some instructions. But the purpose of this is to encourage us to really engage in a practical way with some of the teaching. We're going to try and do regular teaching inputs on a Sunday at least once a month. And I would say my heart to you at this point is we need to take God's word so that it changes us. So we're going to use different ways to do that to help us really embed practically the way that we can think about God's word to take it a little bit deeper. So some of these things are not really the kind of thing that you'd see in a traditional service, but there's an intentional thing here to help us engage more deeply with God's word. And we'll see how it feels. All the things that we're going to be trying over the next few months, we're going to spend time reviewing at some point, and we can share and see if some of this is helpful. But just as a way of explanation, really, of what we're trying to do this morning. So the first thing I just want to talk about, first of all, is this whole idea of being sent. We've got to this point in Matthew's gospel where Jesus' disciples are actively being encouraged by Jesus to engage with the mission. This has suddenly become personal to them. It's about them actively doing something. And Jesus used this word, he sends them out. Because up to this point, you could argue that they've been a little bit passive in the way that they've been growing their faith. And often that happens, doesn't it, when we're learning. Sometimes we just need to sit and absorb and watch before we start to do. And the disciples have been doing that. They'd had plenty of time to observe and to watch Jesus. They'd sat at his feet. If you look at Matthew, there's some amazing teaching that they've been receiving. They'd been watching Jesus. They'd seen how he was proclaiming this good news, this amazing good news that the passage talks about. And it's a good news that brings healing to people. It brings freedom and it releases them from distress. That's really good news, isn't it, that Jesus is bringing. And they'd also heard Jesus' heart. It wasn't just about words. They could see the compassion in Jesus and his care for the crowds that he had. They could see that this just wasn't just words. It was a heart response that Jesus had as well. And Matthew uses this word, sent. Now, it's a really interesting word. It's used a number of times in Scripture, but it has a real active, dynamic idea about it in the Greek. They use it to describe sending out messengers. So across the empire, the Romans would send messengers out, and they'd go out and proclaim the good news. It's a purposeful word. It's intentional. And that's often why our churches will use this to describe mission, this idea of being sent. I was talking about the word sent this week with another Baptist minister. It was absolutely fascinating. We have the most interesting conversations, Baptist ministers, as you can imagine. And we were talking about this, and she said a really good point, which made me think a lot about our movement as a Baptist movement as well. We contribute nationally to our faith life, don't we, as a nation, in a very Baptist way, as all the different denominations do. But one of the interesting things about Baptists is that the idea of being sent is part of our DNA. We're not really, we haven't got the kind of restrictions and limitations that some denominations have to work through. We're actually very free. We can choose to do what we want. We can make decisions as we seek God together. And we can be a very flexible people. And that's why the Baptists are called a Baptist movement, which is interesting. I'd never really thought about that before. But we are a group or denomination that bring this wonderful characteristic of being very flexible, and we can move because of the way that we do church. And I thought, that's really interesting. It made me think quite deeply about that. That's really liberating. And interestingly, Luke picks up on this word as well. He also describes this to when the 72 were sent out, if you know that passage in Luke 10 as well. So not only does Matthew use it for the 12, but it's also used for the 72. And in fact, the mission brief, if you look in Luke, is very, very similar to this passage that we have in Matthew. And then throughout the New Testament, we have this wonderful, dynamic, underlying story of people going, of being sent, sharing the good news about Jesus. And they did that because they'd experienced this amazing good news. It had changed them. It was contagious. It couldn't be contained. And then wherever they went across the empire, they took this good news. It went into the communities. It went into their homes. It was in their conversations as they met together. And whatever the authorities did, and they tried really hard, they couldn't suppress it. They couldn't stop it. The good news was out. And it was on the move. They were a sent people. And the difference was, it was because they were people who had experienced the good news for themselves, and they just couldn't help themselves. They had to share it. So I'm going to pop this slide up, because I've been thinking about this whole idea of being sent. And I was really interested to see one of the visions that you had on your website. Can we have the next slide? So if you look onto your website, you've thought about this. I can see the community for a while. And this is your vision. You've talked about being a fruitful community, which is rooted in God's love. You also mentioned about being faithful to the Bible. And then finally, that you're equipped. This is your vision. You want to be equipped by God's Spirit to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ with all. And that's a statement of sending, of being sent out, because you're talking about sharing. So this is where you're going to get involved a little bit now, around your small circles, your tables. I just want you to spend a bit of time, because one of the key things for us is if we want to be a church that starts to be more on the move and being sent, we need to think about what we're actually sharing. What is the good news? So we're going to spend a little bit of time just thinking about that first of all. You've got some post-its on the table. They're pens. You might want to use your own pen if you bought one. And what I want you to do is I want you to grab the post-its first of all, just on your own, and just use some single words or short sentences of what you think this good news is all about. What is this kingdom? What is the characteristics about? You can look at the passage that we've just read as well, because there's lots of bits of information in there. So have a little think. Think about what is the good news? What does the good news look like? Just jot some words down, then pop them on the table, and then you can share them as a group. And hopefully, if you do one or two, by the end of this, you'll have about 9 or 10 that you can have a little look at. So this amazing kingdom that we're praying for to be built around in our community that we're part of. We've got some wonderful words here. So thank you for entering into that discussion. The idea about this was just to help you understand this is really rich, isn't it? There'll be lots of ideas that are out on the tables that also equally should probably be here up on the board. God's kingdom is an amazing kingdom to be part of. So we've got some great words here. We've got friendship. We've got love. We've got compassion. We've got hope and freedom. We've got purpose of life and relationship with God. So that entering and knowing God. Let me just sort my microphone out. That's a bit better. We've got freedom from sin and forgiveness. We've got the free gift, God's grace, as part of the kingdom. Hope and peace with God. Love, another hope. Good news given, and that purpose and direction again. And then finally, a lovely one at the end, that God loves them. This whole idea of people beginning to understand that God loves them. These are wonderful words, aren't they? And they're true. These are what God's kingdom is about. This is what God's good news is all about. I'm just going to move this out of the way so that we can see the screen. And so over the next few months, we're going to be thinking about this idea of good news. We're going to be thinking about what it is, what it means to us, how it changes us. And we're also going to think about how that then... Is it that better? Yeah? Great. Hopefully I won't be crackling now. But we're going to be thinking about the idea of good news, what it means for us and how it helps us grow. But also we're going to talk about some very practical things about how we can start to share this good news and what it might mean in the things that we're already doing and the new things that we want to try as well. So how does this passage help us? What does it look like from the point of view of good news? And there's just a few things I just want to share with you. If you want to go back to this Matthew passage, which might be helpful just to think about as we consider some of these things. First of all, it's really clear from this passage that this whole idea of good news, what it might mean, it was embodied and it was modelled by Jesus. When we want to find out, we want to know what good news is, we look to Jesus, and he shows very clearly what it's all about. He spoke this good news first. It was good news that wasn't just about words, it was about actions. Jesus often spoke and he challenged the attitudes of the surrounding culture. He spoke God into things that were dark and oppressive. He lived out what he taught. He was a man who was full of integrity, compassion, power, humility. And all that ultimately meant that he had to go to the cross. This amazing man, Jesus, was also fully God. And this is the bit that I get so excited about, because if we want to meet God, if we want to know what God is like, then we look to Jesus and he shows us what God is like. Isn't that amazing? As we read the Gospels, as we look at who Jesus was and what he was like, that it actually reveals to us what God is like. I don't know if you've ever done an activity at all in any of your sort of groups, or maybe some of you that have been in work and done leadership training. Sometimes they do these dreadful things called icebreakers, if ever you've experienced something like that. And I can remember one that was done a couple of years ago where we were encouraged to think about a famous person that we would like to sit next to and have a conversation with, and then share who that person might be. And this was quite a high up level leadership training course in the NHS, and I took a deep breath and I thought, well, I could talk about lots of different people, but the really, really, truly, the person that I'd most like to sit next to is Jesus. So I took a deep breath and I shared that with the person that I was linked in with. They looked slightly shocked at that point. But then I was able just to talk about Jesus, and it was an amazing privilege to be able to do that. And think about that, what that would be like if you had an opportunity now to sit and talk to Jesus, which of course we do in prayer, but what might that like be like? One day we will come into his presence and it's going to be amazing. We will meet him face to face, and I can't wait for that. So that's the first thing that we learn from the passage that we've looked at today, that this good news, we can find out all about it by looking to Jesus. He shows us what the good news is. And the second thing is that it starts to change things. It starts to change people. This good news starts to change situations. It starts to change communities. It starts to change groups of people, not just individuals. It is amazing, transforming good news. And we've already covered a lot of these words here, but the sorts of things that I picked up was that it brings help and care and protection. There's that lovely word of shepherd that's used in that passage, a sense of belonging that it brings to people. It heals people, it releases them. And that has got to be good news for people today. So many people feel trapped by the situations that they're in. It brings peace. What a wonderful gift to be able to experience. It conquers death. It brings hope. And that is an amazing thing to be able to share with people. It's something I've shared a lot with people in the last 12 months in a way that I've never been able to do before. I think COVID has helped people to see the reality of what life is about. And I've had lots of conversations about the hope. It's been mentioned a couple of times on the board there about what it means to have hope. And then it changes attitudes, and I think this is wonderful. It changes people's attitude around generosity and trust. It begins to bring people together into communities that can work together and share together and bless one another. So that's the second thing. It changes things. Jesus shows us the way. The good news changes things. But the third thing that the passage shared with us, and this is something that's going to take us into the next month, is that Jesus chose to share the responsibility for taking this good news out, to be sent out. He chose to entrust it to his disciples. He didn't hold on to it himself and say, no, I'm the only one that can do this. You need to look to me. He actually made the decision to share the responsibility for talking and going out and sharing this good news. He gave it to his disciples. And we learned later that it then went on to bigger groups, the 72. It then extended into the whole church. This whole privilege that we have, really, of beginning to share the good news. I'm just going to pause for a second, and this is going to be a very quick discussion. But I just want you to, in your groups, just choose one word from the passage that we've just read that tells us about the provision that Jesus gives for this sending out. So it's going to be a very quick task, just for a minute or two. Just choose one word between you, shout it out about the provision from this passage. Off you go. So did anybody feel confident just to shout a word out? Authority. Authority for another one.
Power.
What other provision have we got?
Freedom.
Freedom, yeah. Any others that anyone can spot? Yes. Yeah, something about dependency actually, isn't there, in there? And asking for help. We're not on our own when we do this, exactly. Any other words that people want to quickly share? Yes, there's a generosity of heart in there, isn't there? Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that's they're special words, aren't they? But there is a sense of generosity that it frees us into being generous people, which is an exciting thing. I'm going to just share just a few things now before we finish up. So some things that I think we can learn from this passage. I think the first thing it tells us is that Jesus had a very clear strategic plan. It was targeted. If you notice at the beginning, it talks about just going out to the Jewish community. So the first part of this challenge was to the immediate people around them, the community that they were in. And as we read the New Testament, we know that that challenge, that remit, that brief began to get wider as the church began to expand. But at this point in the passage, Jesus has a very clear strategic plan. And I'm very thankful that as a church, you've started to do this. You've started to think strategically about the future and what it might look like. And one of those things that you've done is to call me as a missional leader. And I'm really thankful for that. And I'm thankful that you're a church that are talking about these strategic ideas. And it's something that we need to continue to do as we think about, as we pray and listen about where God is calling us in this place and what happens to us as a church in the next year. And it's absolutely fine to have a plan to do that. And in fact, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to be following through some plans that you talked about much earlier on before I arrived. And this idea of having a rhythm to your services. I know David sent some information out, but we're going to just try some different ways of doing services. Some will be very familiar to you and there'll be more of the traditional way of doing church. So there'll be opportunities for teaching like this and for worship and for celebration. But we're also going to try some other types of ways of meeting together, which you've already been doing. So things like we're going to have a small group Sunday and just explore that a little bit and whether that might work for us. And then I know the other thing that you're particularly keen on is looking at going out, having a going out Sunday. And over the next few months, we're going to start thinking about what that might look like and what we want to try and do around that. So strategic planning, we're going to try some things. We're going to try them over the next few months. And then there'll be an opportunity after that brief that you've given me to come back and we'll talk about it and see if it's taking us in the direction that we need to go in. And if you notice in this passage, there were some bits that didn't work. They went into some places and they were turned away. And Jesus said, just move on, go on to the next thing. And so we'll start having some really interesting discussions. There was opposition. If you read further down into the passage, there was opposition. We need to be mindful that that might happen. But we need to be talking and sharing that together as we move forward. The other thing I want to say is that this strategy is not just about Sundays for us, is it? It's about everything that we do during our church community life. It's in coffee shop, it's in baby group, it's in toddlers, it's greeting people at the post office. It impacts on our conversations as we're down at the allotment, at the golf club. It's there everywhere. Are we having opportunities to share this amazing good news? Because that's what it was like in the New Testament. It wasn't confined to Sundays. They basically just couldn't help themselves. They shared the good news in every context. And that's another question that I'm going to be asking some of us as we review our church life. Is this activity, is it helping us to share the good news? The second thing I wanted to share with you was that this wasn't a lone mission. We've already said that Jesus delegated it to others. And as we go into the New Testament, we see there was a variety of men and women, very often in teams, that got together using their gifts to share the good news. This isn't just about us as individuals. It's about how we work together as a team and as a church to do that calling. This is what the church is designed to do. This is church as we start to do this together. And we're definitely going to be unpacking that a lot more in the months ahead as we think about that. Another thing that I picked up from this passage, which I found really helpful, there was something in here about not being overwhelmed by the task. As we read that passage, Jesus talks a little bit later on about being sent out as sheep among wolves. I mean, that's not really particularly encouraging, is it, for the disciples as they go? He also mentioned the passage that Leslie read, that the need is going to be huge, and there isn't going to be enough people to do it. Jesus tells us that that's going to be the case. But we are encouraged to ask, and that was mentioned by one of the groups, for help. And there's that lovely bit there that talks about the fact that Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. It's his harvest. And we shouldn't forget that. That's really important. As I've been praying this through, at some points, I guess it's probably quite normal for a new minister to come in. You can think, wow, where do I start? This is overwhelming. This is huge. And I felt the Lord just saying to us, you just start with a bit that's in front of you. Just do the next thing and trust me, and then the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. So if you're okay, that's what we're going to try and do over the next few months. We're going to do the bit that's in front of us, and we're going to do the next thing, and we're going to see where it takes us. Context was important to Jesus. This is a mission about giving yourself freely to it, going in peace. It's about being relational. It's about hospitality, as you read further down in the verses. It's a sense of being open, about bringing things into the light as well. Very often, this idea of going is associated with speaking and proclaiming. And of course, we do need to talk about the good news. But it's so much more than that, isn't it? It's about how we live our lives. It's about honesty, generosity. It's about sacrificially giving to others. And again, we're going to unpack some of these things in the months ahead. Flexibility is in there. Not holding things too tightly, letting things go, trusting in God, moving on. And that's what we'll need to do if we're going to keep moving forward. And then the final point, which takes us right back to the beginning, it's all about Jesus. It's about keeping him at the centre, that single-mindedness of keeping Jesus at the centre. And as you come to the end of chapter 10, Jesus talks about losing your life. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Brothers and sisters, this is a commitment. It's going to take effort. It's going to take sacrifice if we want to do this. We're going to have to be committed to one another. This isn't an easy journey, but it's a joyful journey. So I say that at the beginning, knowing that I'm also part of this and will be joining in with you as we serve together and as we move forward and as we grow together. So there's an awful lot to process there. We're just going to finish off by thinking about this section, and we're going to listen to a song, Build My Life. And then I've just invited Hilary to come and pray for us in response to some of these things. So it's Build My Life.